comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome, everybody, into the Nerd Dome, episode 53 of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I am your host, Greg Mahochko, recording from the place that I hope to do all my recording from in the future, of course, unless I'm out on the road, something like that. But, I don't know if I call it my game room, my library, my den, my studio. I don't know. All I know is that I'm wearing a headset. I've got wires. Some of them are going into a soundboard. Some of them are going from the soundboard to the laptop. And I've tested it half a dozen times, and it doesn't sound like crap. So if you made it all the way through episode 52 with my guest, the moderator of the Comic Book Collabs subreddit page, Ryan Burst, That was a surprise. It sounded normal while we were recording it, and then in post, it sounded
a lot like this, and I was not at all very happy with it. And
so I reached out to some of my people. I said, what do I need to do to make this sound right? And they said, get an audio interface, or you can drop the recording rate of the program that you use to record, or my personal favorite was invest in a good laptop. And that's not going to happen just yet. I actually bought an audio interface and experienced some of the same problems, so I think I just need to continue working with it. Like I said, whatever I'm doing right now, it's working. So I'm just going to, hold my breath, but, keep the positive thoughts going that it continues to work and sound clear. We're going to jump right into things. Don't have a guest for episode 53. Just got some topics that I wanted to hit and visit about. We're back into the fall show season. And while I haven't watched everything yet, as I record this on Wednesday evening, Arrow is recording to my DVR. So as soon as I'm done recording, I'm going to hop out there and watch it while I do all the post preparation and things like that for this episode. But we are a couple of episodes, or one episode into The Walking Dead. We're a few episodes now into Gotham, a couple episodes of The Flash, and more. Holy cow, more on the way. Before we get to any of that, though, something that we've been doing last couple of episodes is the League of Regrettable Superheroes. As I mentioned before, this was in a recent Loot Crate over the summer and put together by John Morris. And it's just characters from all ages of comics that, for one reason or another, just didn't quite pan out. And for this one, we are going back to the Silver Age. This is a character right off the bat. As soon as I say his name, you're going to say, well, that would just never work in 2015, Greg. You're absolutely right. But things were different in October of 1960 when Charlton Comics debuted in Six Gun Heroes number 59, The Gunmaster. Yes, The Gunmaster. The Master of Guns. And in fact, the cover issue that they have here is from issue number 89, it was 12 cents back in October, and I'm going to guess that is probably of 1962, possibly 63, I don't know. It wasn't obviously right away, but on the cover here, it's Gunmaster and Bullet the Gun Boy, and all of the letters of Bullet are stylized to resemble bullets. So, like I said, it's not one that's going to work in today's world, but in 1960, especially, this was, obviously comics were, capes and cobbles were around for 20 plus years by now, but there was still something about the Old West that drew people in, and we've kind of gotten away from that definitely have explored more space here as recently. But let me just tell you a little bit about Gunmaster, because you talk about Clark Kent being mild-mannered and completely opposite of his alter ego Superman. Gunmaster couldn't have been any different from his alter ego Clay Boone. Clay Boone was, I guess Kenny Rogers put it best when he said everyone considered him the coward of the county, something like that. But Gunmaster didn't have any super powers, but he did have, and he was a gunsmith. His civilian career, he was an apprentice gunsmith, so became a gun master. Shoot gas bombs, or when a gun that shoots gas bombs or flares fails to solve the problem, then it says here, Boone's unerring eye for trick shots made him an admirable enemy of evil. So one of those didn't want to shoot, yet that was in his name, but he was a pacifist, and it's all very, very confusing. But he said, you know what, if my enemies are going to use guns, then I'll use guns, because my enemies are using guns. In fact, this is a quote: if I must resort to guns as they do, then I will be a master of the weapon. My enemies have guns. I have better ones. They have skill. I will match that and better. If I must fight, then I will win. That is a quote from the Gunmaster, a.k.a. Clay Boone, created by Dick Giordano. Again, debuted in October of 1960, Charlton Comics. And that's just not one that you hear about anymore. So, Gunmaster, we wish you well. I'd say that they're probably never going to make a movie about the Gunmaster, but let's face it, that was pretty much John Wick's. And that was a fantastic movie. And I'm excited that Keanu's getting a John Wick's 2. So, yeah, I mean, that, you know, Old West, everything's about, you know, how fast your six shooter is. So kudos to Charlton Comics. In 1960, they were able to bring out the Gunmaster. Now, just ain't happening, brother. All right, so let us jump forward and hope that this works. I'm just hoping that I'm still recording as I'm bouncing around windows here on the old lappy top. Hey, we're still recording. We're still happy. Josh had a question, and if there's one thing I'm good at, it is answering questions 2, 3, 4 months down the road. Let us get to his exact question. He posed a couple of, I don't want to say topics, but a couple of things on the old Nerds United Facebook page, and I encourage you, if you have questions or things that you think you might want to know a little bit more about, hit up the Facebook page, facebook.com/Nerds United Podcast, or on Twitter at Nerds United Show. You could always go to jitterymonkey.com and find the Nerds United page from there, jitterymonkey.com/Nerds United Podcast. And if you do like the show and want to support the show in any way, I encourage you to go to the Amazon banner at the bottom of that Nerds United page. Again, jitterymonkey.com/Nerds United Podcast. So Josh had a question. He said, you know, Doctor Strange is not too far away. I think they're supposed to start filming Doctor Strange next month. Benedict Cumberbatch, Rachel McAdams, obviously more people. Those are the names that I recognize. And apparently I was wrong on my own stupid Facebook page. It's not Nerds United Show, or it's not Nerds United Podcast. Facebook.com/Nerds United Show. My bad. But anyway, back to the topics or the questions at hand. And I'll even shame myself here. I'm embarrassed that it took so long for me to come up with, you know, answers, or for me to get around to answering these questions. And I've apologized to Josh. I know Josh, we're old buds, old friends, old, you know, past roommates. We lived together years ago. It wasn't like that. It wasn't weird. Get your head out of the gutter. But back September 14th, so a month ago, actually a month to the day, because as I record this, it's October 14th, and now I'm just rambling. Josh says, can Nerds United or its fans recommend some good Doctor Strange comics, wanting to read some in anticipation of the movie coming out? Here's the thing, and I just did a Doctor versus Doctor Tough Call Tuesday last week, Doctor Strange versus Doctor Fate. What I did was less about, you know, stories, more about powers, abilities, and, you know, if I'm going into a battle against the Mysticals, who am I going to take in a battle with me? And I did take Doctor Strange. But Josh wanted to know, as far as specific stories, that was not a question that I had an answer for. So I did what I always do, and I reached out to the experts. The expert that I contacted, Tim Waters of Twilight Comics in Swansea, Illinois. If you are familiar with the Fairview Heights, Swansea, Belleville area, you will want to be on Scott Credit Union. I believe there's a Shell station. Anyway, if you're from the area, you know where I'm talking about. And because they moved away from the Deerberg's Target shopping center, and they're about half a mile, something like that, just to the east of 159, again, right there on Frank Scott Parkway. So I reached out to Tim, and of course, I've had Twilight on here before. Just Tim's never been on the mic. So he's on the mic via Facebook chat, which is how we had this conversation. So this is some of the recommendations that Tim made if you want to do some Doctor Strange reading in anticipation or in preparation for the movie that is due out, I believe, in 2017 or at the end of 2016. I don't know. It's all running together, it seems, these days. But anyway, the first one he started with was Strange. It's a 6-part trade paperback. It was a limited series published by Marvel, of course, under the Marvel Knights imprint. Written by J. Michael Straczynski and Sam Barnes. Artwork by Brandon Peterson. And it is essentially Doctor Strange's origin. It's a reimagining, a retelling of the origin. Of course, what we know, at least, I mean, I know the basics of Doctor Strange, and it's that he was in an automobile accident and had, you know, skilled surgeon, maybe perhaps a little cocky, I guess you might say, but very skilled surgeon, and was in an accident and lost that, I guess, manual dexterity, that ability to use his hands. So went off to, I guess, find, I'm probably not going to get this exactly right, but went off to find, seek help, or maybe seek peace with these, you know, hands, that the situation that he was in, and came across the Ancient One, learned the ways of mystics and magics, and became Doctor Strange. So that's one. That is, again, a 6-part series called Strange. So the next one that Tim recommended was Doctor Strange The Oath, Volume 1, which ran is a collection of stories from 2006 and 2007. He also suggested the Marvel, and I've seen this, I guess, set of stories. It's kind of a series, not interconnecting. They're all kind of standalones. But the What If, the world famous Marvel What If issues, and I've seen them, you know, like What If Doctor Doom became the Thing, or Thing became Doctor Doom, you know, and makes sense. Something that tragic. I mean, they kind of allude to it in the movie. Well, the first Fantastic Four movie of recent memory, the one with Chris Evans as Johnny Storm, Michael Chiklis as Ben Grimm. You know, he's like, you guys can hide this, your transformation. I can't. You know, so I would understand that you'd be a little bit bitter towards your, I guess, teammates or the situation that you find yourself. But so that's kind of where the What If comes from. I've seen just a variety of them. The question that this What If issue asks is, what if Doctor Strange were a disciple of Dormammu? Pretty simple stuff. I imagine that things might have been a little bit different for old Stephen Strange had he been a pupil of the bad guy instead of the ancient one. So that's one. And then the final, the Amazing Volume 1, Issue 14. It is the Book of the Vishanti. So I believe Issue is in there somewhere. It is, of course, a Spider-Man book, first and foremost, but Doctor Strange is in there. So is Doctor Doom. Dormammu makes another appearance. What's nice about this one is actually it is written by Denny O'Neil, and might want to search that one out just for that type of collaboration. So Miller also did the cover art. Pretty impressive cover. Spider-Man swinging into action. Looks like perhaps an overwhelmed Doctor Strange, and you have a glowing Doctor Doom holding a crystal in the background. A crystal is about the size of Doctor Strange. So that is from October of 1980. So Amazing Spider-Man Annual Volume 1, Number 14, The Book of the Vishanti. And that'll kind of get you, I think, where you need to be as far as Doctor Strange goes. But Josh was not done. He had another question. And this one, I admit, this is the one that's far outdated. He asked why I hadn't brought up anything about the Neil Gaiman Sandman movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He was surprised that he had not seen it on the page. And by the way, he posted that June 9th. So, again, I humbly apologize. So, so sorry. But yeah, JGL has been working on a Sandman movie for some time. What's particularly impressive about this, and I don't have any really recent information to share with you. I mean, I haven't heard anything in the new, recent, weeks or months or anything like that. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt has putting together this Sandman movie, the opus, if you will. Gordon-Levitt, he says, don't have him punch anything. The movie is being adapted for the screen by David Goyer, who has a long resume of comic book adaptations. Goyer is going to be a co-producer, as well as Gaiman, who's going to be an executive producer. One of the things that Gordon-Levitt says in regards to, the fact that Morpheus doesn't punch. I mean, he's not a physical type of hero or character. So he says, don't expect, Gordon-Levitt says, don't expect one of those, blowing things up, explosions. That's not the kind of movie to it. Anticipate when we talk about Sandman. Just have to wait and see. I read a little bit of Sandman, Master of Dreams. It's been a few years. Probably something that I need to pick up and read a little bit more before I. But this is it's a different type of comic book adaptation. It's a little less, I think, mainstream. It's not going to be. Like Gordon-Levitt said, it's not going to be even the, something that's not mainstream that was a success would have been Guardians of the Galaxy. It's not going to be like that, certainly. Just going to be a different type, different tone to it. A little bit trippy, I guess, possibly might be a word that I'm probably using incorrectly, but I think it's going to be good. Looking forward to that, but definitely a character I got to do a little bit more reading up on. Just like Josh wants to familiarize himself with Doctor Strange, I'd need to familiarize myself a little bit more with Morpheus or Sandman. Now we're talking about Neil Gaiman, and recently I have been reading, the last, week or so, probably a little less than a week, I've been reading Marvel 1602, which was obviously not written in 1602. It was written, I believe, in 2007 or 8, something like that. Kind of a Marvel universe back in, the Victorian times, or I guess that'd be pre-Victorian times. But back in, the 1600s, obviously everybody, dresses different, same powers, but different variations of names. Like instead of Charles Xavier, it's Carlos Javier. who's still unable to walk but has intense abilities. Instead of mutants, they're called Witchbreed. It's only, I believe, an 8-issue miniseries, but I'm enjoying it. I think I'm on number 5, so I'm about halfway through. Check it out if you are interested. I mean, it's, like I said, it's kind of a different take. The villains that I have come across are Otto von Doom, Count Otto von Doom. There is a Grand Inquisitor who has a manipulation of metal, somewhat like Magneto. And there is King James of Scotland, who I haven't quite figured out who he is, but I accidentally read a possible spoiler earlier today. I'm not too happy with myself. But if so, it's kind of an interesting spin on the story, but I digress. And so looking forward to finishing that and maybe having a little review or something like that up available in the next week or so. So that's the other Neil Gaiman news that I have. I finally went to Ye Olde Comic Book Shop, which, of course, as I mentioned time and time again, is Twilight Comics in Swansea, Illinois. I went there this past Sunday, had $95 worth of stuff there. Tim messages me, he's like, hey, by the way, this book that you ordered is in. And I said, hey, I kind of forgot that I ordered that book, but cool, thanks. The Comic Book Story of Beer, the world's favorite beverage from 7,000 BC to today's craft brewing revolution. You better believe that sounds just as exhilarating. I mean, I'm a beer guy, I'm a beer drinker, so I'm very excited to really dive in to this. Jonathan Hennessy, Mike Smith, Aaron McConnell are the individuals who put this out. It's 10 Speed Press out of Berkeley, crownpublishing.com, 10speed.com. Find it. I'll provide a link, but you can also get it at the comicbookstoryofbeer.com. Look forward to diving into that. Obviously have not done so just yet, but the story comes from Jonathan Hennessy and Mike Smith with art by Aaron McConnell. And lettering by an individual whose name I can't pronounce. And if I can't pronounce it, you know it's pretty damn tough because look at my last name. Got a few other things that were in my poll folder this time around. Some Halloween goodies for nieces and nephews that I ordered. So look forward to getting those out in the mail and probably need to do that soon since Halloween's 2.5 weeks away. Anyway, as we move on, I did mention at the top of the show that we are in a new season of television. And as I also mentioned that right now, Arrow is airing. And I'll try to do this with as few spoilers as possible. Going to be tough, but hopefully if you haven't seen it, you're at least following it along online, so you know a little bit about what I'm talking about. At the end of last season, which I believe was season 4 of Arrow, has it been? Were we already on season 5? I digress. The end of last season, whichever one that was, Oliver Queen's like, I'm done. I'm not going to be the Arrow anymore. Gets called back. Sure enough, sheer shooting. He's enjoying a nice quiet life with Felicity in the suburbs somewhere in a remote locale. And get called back to Star City to help him out. So he does, and he's like, well, I'm not going to be the Arrow anymore. So he addresses the nation via, I think, online stream. He says, the Arrow is gone. I'm the Green Arrow. Boom. Green Arrow is finally here now on a show that's, like I said, 4, possibly 5 years old. So that's up 2 episodes in to what looks to be another fantastic season of The Flash on the CW. I particularly enjoyed the season premiere because it had a really talented, not just actor, but sports entertainer before he was sidelined due to injury, but Adam Copeland, or Edge. If you are a pro wrestling fan, you might remember Edge. He played Adam Smasher. And a good character there, kind of a unique one. And I'm excited to see what they do with Zoom this season after the path of destruction, if you will, that the reverse flash caused in season one. So looking forward to that. That seems like it picked up right just where it left off, and looks like a lot of fun. We have, I think we're a month now into Gotham, if not 5 weeks, and I'll admit that I've only seen the first two episodes. I actually forgot that it had started, and so I'm watching them on demand and also DVRing the new episode. So I've got a little ways to go to get caught up on that, but that's another one that's like, man, they're here we go again with all the crazy villains, the Rogues Gallery coming out long before we get a Batman, but we're also starting to see an evolution of a Batman. They found Thomas Wayne's, you know, basement bunker, if you will, and for a minute there, I about crap my pants when Bruce Wayne fired Alfred, and then he says, okay, you can come back. Because, obviously, I mean, it's Alfred. He's got to come back and help Bruce. But, so that was a unique start to the season. Interested to see where that one goes. Walking Dead premiered this past Sunday night for a 90-minute episode, and I have to sneeze. Please hold. Walking Dead came back this past Sunday night for a 90-minute episode, and the poor, you know, Rick and the gang and Alexandria are finding why their community has been relatively left alone by zombies, and that's because, and this is spoilers if you haven't watched, but they're all kind of landing in this big quarry, and they're about to, well, not only about to, but at the end of the episode, they lead the zombies, or the walkers, pardon me, out of the quarry, trying to lead them away from the community, and it's going pretty well until you hear a big siren or horn all of a sudden, and well, it doesn't bode so well because it breaks up the herd. I mean, we're talking thousands of walkers. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'll tell you what, cliffhangers, man. And they're going to keep us coming back for more. And I'll watch The Walking Dead until it's just the dead. I mean, until the show ends. It's had me really from day one. So, and I'm not, I didn't read the, I'll fully admit, I'd never read The Walking Dead books, but the show is entertaining. Same for, you know, Game of Thrones. I never read the Game of Thrones books. I've heard both that they're great and that they just seem to drag on and take forever, and now we're at a point where the show is up in front of the books and ahead of where the books are, and so, you know, it is what it is. You don't have to read, and I'm a guy who loves to read, so don't take what I'm about to say as being, like, anti-reading, but you know, it's tough to get caught up on some of this stuff. I talk about going and spending $95 at the comic book shop or you know, $85 after my $10 off card. But I still have comic issues that I need to read from last October. So, yeah, I'm behind. I've got growing stacks of comics that need to be read. And my problem is I've just got a lack of time to read them. So things aren't probably going to improve for me. But let's continue moving on, and maybe I can at least get out of here at a decent time, and we'll just keep on moving on. This was brought to my attention earlier today, and I saw it yesterday, actually. I just didn't bring it up at the time, but pretty excited for the fact that they're going to take another Marvel character and possibly rumored to transition them to a Netflix series, and this comes on the heels of learning that they might possibly drop Iron Fist on Netflix, and it looks like Marvel might instead bring Moon Knight to which is an interesting choice. I mean, I'm intrigued by the Iron Fist character. When they started over and started renumbering them, you know, I picked up Iron Fist and I picked up Moon Knight both, and for whatever reason, I stuck with Moon Knight and kind of stopped reading Iron Fist. So this news makes me happy. I would have been happy with Iron Fist. I was happy with Iron Fist and as being one of the defenders. So the fact that Moon Knight, you know, Moon Knight's kind of a unique character in the Marvel. Marvel doesn't, I mean, it doesn't have, it seems like it doesn't have as many capes as DC. You know, there's Superman, Batman, and obviously plenty more, although those are the only two that come to mind. But Marvel's characters aren't really cape-driven. You've got a couple. I guess for the sake of argument, we can include Doctor Strange. Moon Knight is one. Vision, Thor. So I think I've... Did I just prove myself wrong? I know that there are more than just two capes in the DC side, but by golly, those are the only two that jumped out at me. So just a kind of different... Moon Knight's a character I think that would fit very well in the DC universe, but obviously he's a Marvel character and interesting to see, especially after what Netflix did with Daredevil, what people have been saying, people have been seeing in the releases of the teasing, you know, videos and clips, things like that of Jessica Jones. The Netflix is killing it with the Marvel stuff, as I fully anticipated they would, because it's Marvel. So looking forward to Moon Knight, and if they back away from Moon Knight and bring back, you know, Danny Rand or Iron Fist, I'll be all right with that too. Don't know, and this is just a rumor, so I don't know what their plans are for Moon Knight, but we'll see. That's all we can really do, right? We'll just see. Another one that I found out about today that they are considering not considering, apparently it is a done deal. It's another comic book property that has been scooped up for television, is Why the Last Man. It is creator-owned Brian K. Vaughan developing the series for FX, and that's according to The Hollywood Reporter. The comic focuses on a man and his pet monkey who survived the simultaneous death of male mammals. That's a lot of pressure. So Why the Last Man? Not the last person, just the last man. Let's see. One more thing, I believe. I think we're going to try to get to here, and then we're going to shut her down. Thor Ragnarok got some intriguing news, because we heard that Mark Ruffalo, a.k.a. Hulk, is not going to be in the Civil War movie, Captain America Civil War. Last time we saw Hulk, he was flying away in a little Quinjet at the end of Age of Ultron. Apparently, rumor has it that he is going to surface in Thor Ragnarok. I do not know all the details. There are rumors abound. Obviously, Chris Hemsworth is back. I think I saw that Natalie Portman is back. Ruffalo. There was an interesting rumor that Loki would be back, Tom Hiddleston. However, there was also a report out last week in regards to Thor and other Marvel projects, and Tom had said that he hadn't spoken with Marvel in 2 years. Now, of course, A, that could be a work or a job or just a fabrication, or two, might have been like, hey, you know, we'll see in a couple of years type of thing, you know, after we iron out some other Marvel properties. So maybe there was no reason for Marvel to contact Tom Hiddleston about returning as Loki. Just an interesting, I don't know, dynamic, interesting question or interesting phrasing. Again, might be complete BS, and we'll see him, who knows? We could see him in a, you know, mid-credit or post-credit scene in Civil War. I really don't know. But anyway, interesting rumor that Mark Ruffalo or Hulk will be in Thor Ragnarok. And there's even a, I guess, I don't want to call it a report, but an opinion, a direction that this particular fan saw, that, you know, Thor Ragnarok takes place on a new distant planet that's not Asgard, nor is it Earth, and it could somehow lead to a Planet Hulk movie. So a lot of things happening, a lot of crazy things. One update, and I'm sure I talked about it before, the death of Superman Lives, what happened. It's a documentary made by some filmmakers, and I have pre-ordered the Blu-ray with all the extra, you know, all the extra things like that back in June, for it was supposed to come out July. And now we're in October and I hadn't received it. Double-checked the bank account and said that I had indeed paid for it. So, you know, I just went on the Facebook page for The Death of Superman Lives, what happened. And because I follow along, and there have been, you know, some statements of, hey, we're anticipating another shipment going out, things like that. And somebody else had said, well, I ordered mine in August. I haven't seen it. And they said, well, email us. And I said, I pre-ordered mine in June and I haven't received it. And they said, pre-orders went out ages ago. There must have been a problem. Email us. We'll take care of it. So I say that to follow up with, I'm not mad at all at the people, be it the filmmakers themselves or whoever's, you know, doing the shipments for this. I'm thrilled that they took such a proactive measure and jumped in and said, email us. Let's get this done right. I'm still very excited for the receipt of The Death of Superman Lives, what happened. And who knows, maybe now at the time that I purchased or pre-ordered the movie, I said, hey, I've got this podcast. Would you guys like to come on the podcast? And of course they were in the final stages of, you know, like marketing and getting it released. They're like, we're kind of busy right now. So maybe now I can say, hey, I didn't get my pre-order for months. I'm not going to hold it over here or anything, but you want to come and talk about your movie on my show? We'll see how that works. I'm not, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful. So I think that is all that we have to discuss this time around. My dogs are, they're not barking. My dogs are not barking, but they're getting a little whiny. Lucky's looking at me like, are you going to take me outside, Coco? Just popped her head up off the floor when I said outside. So I'm going to take these dogs outside. And I bid you a wonderful week. And keep, you know, keep throwing feedback at the Facebook page, facebook.com/NerdsUnitedShow. Also Twitter @NerdsUnitedShow. JitteryMonkey.com/NerdsUnitedPodcast. And iTunes. Hey, if you like the show, go to iTunes and leave a review. If you don't like the show, go to iTunes and leave a review, but lie. And if you enjoy the show, share it with people that you feel might enjoy it as well. That's pretty much all I've got for episode number 53, although I say that Kevin Hunsberger at My 123 Cents is catching up in a hurry, so we're going to have to do something when he reaches my number, and we're only a few months away from that. We're going to have a big crossover. It's going to be a lot of fun. Always enjoy visiting with Kevin. I've been on his show a couple times, and maybe you've listened. Maybe you haven't, but you should. Even if you're not yet a fan of the art of sports entertainment /pro wrestling, it's just good entertainment, good, clean fun over at My 123 Cents, the podcast. I am Greg Mahochko. I am your host of Nerds United. And until next time, I don't really know how to end that out. I was just going to say until next time. And, here we go. We'll pull a Truman, Jim Carrey from The Truman Show. In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.